This episode is brought to you by FX's The Veil, starring Elizabeth Moss. FX's The Veil is an international spy thriller that follows two women as they play a deadly game of truth and lies on the road from Istanbul to Paris and London. One woman has a secret, and the other has a mission to reveal it before thousands of lives are lost. FX's The Veil premieres April 30th, only on Hulu.
Welcome to episode 122 of How You At You. It's your girl Shanice from K-Pop Box.
And Shay from the K-Way. And on this podcast, we love hanging out with you guys, talking through the hottest K-news, your unpopular opinions, dilemmas, and everything in between.
Yes, so if you want to join the conversation, make sure you hit us up on socials at How You At You. So let's sit back, relax, and let's get it started.
Yes, so it's time for our very first segment. This is called Hot Topics, aka BBC Shanice, where we give you a rundown of the hottest K news that's come up over the past week or so. So Shanice, spill the tea.
So on the 21st of March, Twice's Chaeyoung posted a photo of herself wearing a shirt that had a Nazi symbol on it. Shortly after fans pointed out the problematic image on the shirt, Chaeyoung deleted the post and then uploaded an apology in its place. She writes, "Hello, this is Chaeyoung from Twice, and I sincerely apologize regarding the Instagram post. I didn't correctly recognize the meaning of the swastika in the t-shirt I wore. I deeply apologize for not thoroughly reviewing it, causing concern. I will pay absolute attention in the future to prevent any situation similar from happening again. I sincerely apologize again." This was covered by a lot of people. I think TMZ even reported it.
Yeah.
The Guardian, it was all over the place. It's a sticky one because I've seen some like other takes on it. I think there was one lady, probably was on TikTok. She was saying how South Korea, they don't really learn the history about certain countries. And I'm not trying to like make an excuse for her. But I think, especially if your group and company are going to be promoting worldwide, you need to be more aware of what's going on. And even if you don't, at least know what you're wearing. And this is probably down to the stylist. I don't even think, not that, you know, Chaeyoung doesn't have any autonomy over what she wears, but this was probably like a stylist that picked this piece out and it looks quote unquote cool or whatever. I just feel like sometimes you have to be careful because on the flip side as well, I don't, and again, this could be just like a small percentage, a loud percentage of netizens that are just loud. But if you do any smidge, any mistake in terms of, I don't know, like you have other members that are not Korean members, I don't know, celebrating something that's Chinese or celebrating something that's Japanese, and they will get dragged for it. And it's nothing offensive that to Korea itself. It's just because obviously Korea may have, or certain Korean citizens may have like a certain implication of like Japanese people or Chinese people, whatever. So they just get offended on that behalf. It's not necessarily this like being disrespectful towards anything Korean or Korean culture, and the amount of flogging that certain member will have. Don't you remember like Chewy went through something? I don't know, she mentioned something about Taiwan or something, and she had to do like a whole video apologizing. It's just like little things like that. So it's like, you know how something can affect you. You need to be aware when you step out of, especially, you know, Twice or global, you know, you need to have some sort of awareness. I'm not expecting you, of course, the mistakes are going to happen. I'm not expecting people to know everything, but yeah.
Yeah, I think the points that you've just made, and every situation is going to be case by case, and there's layers and nuance to everything. But I think I don't know if we should be celebrating or acknowledging the bare minimum. I think it was the right decision to issue an apology straight out the gate to acknowledge what had been done wrong, and to understand the impact and the implication it could have had on others, given the history. But I also think I would more so understand if you're a smaller artist or from a small company and you don't have access to such extensive resources. But when you are on the world stage, I feel as though there's a responsibility that the company as a whole has, that stylists have, that also you as an artist has, mm-hmm. to just be aware. I'm not saying you'll know everything. All of us in the world, unfortunately, are probably ignorant in some way, shape or form. But there are just certain things that you would expect that people could be aware of or could be understanding of. Especially if you're wanting that to be reciprocated as well. I'm sure they're mm-hmm. not necessarily symbols, but there might be something that could really offend a Korean audience or a global audience that someone else could do. So I think the apology, although from what I'm aware of, it wasn't too detailed or that long, I think it was the right thing to do. We've seen other scenarios where people just sort of wait it out or don't say anything. So I think that was a good and responsible move. But I also expect more at this stage. Like, I think it's there's like a resurgence of this trend of questionable things idols have worn. And mm-hmm. sometimes we see these shirts with sentences that don't make sense or like really outrageous out there things. So yes, does ignorance play a part to some extent? Sure. But there's still that responsibility. Like, you are an entertainment company. You do hold an image. You are out there in the world. Whatever you do does have an impact on millions across the world. So I think it's just being mindful and thoughtful. And we've spoken about this before, but a lot of these companies should have like cultural advisory boards or mm-hmm. just making sure that obviously you can't keep everyone happy, but you're not going to offend anyone or you're not doing anything that could be perceived as malicious or disrespectful to another cultural group or towards tragic events that have happened in the world. And I don't think that's hard. A lot of these companies already interact and operate in global ways anyway. So having some sort of cultural advisory board that you can bounce things off of, that you can run things by, I think it would help to avoid a lot of these issues that we see. Mm. But yeah.
Yeah, and the bare minimum is just be aware of what you're wearing. Like, do you know what yeah. I mean? Like, it may seem a bit annoying and long, but you know, if you pick up a shirt and you don't know who that person is, or you don't know what a certain symbol is, or if you don't even know what it says, at least figure out what it says or what it is before you're like, okay, I'm going to put this on my artist.
Yeah.
Because, yeah, okay, the shirt may look cool or, you know, have a certain aesthetic, but it's not worth the headache in the end.
And with this whole picture situation, so I think I've seen the picture probably by way of TikTok. I didn't see when it was actually posted. Were they in America at the time or?
I think they probably were, but I would be lying if I can't 100% confirm that. I don't know.
Okay. No, because like another thing, one, it might not be that person's responsibility, but if they were in America, for example, you probably have some sort of interpreter with you. And I'm sure if you've been someone that grew up in the West, you would recognize such a symbol, but who knows?
I don't know. I don't know if I could put it on them, because sometimes yeah. you mean just know a language doesn't mean you know you grew up in that side of the world or you know certain things. Again, I'm not trying to make excuses, but I really think if you're a stylist and you're going to put, you know, a shirt or whatever on someone, at least be aware of what you're putting on that person.
Because there were two questionable outfits. It was the Nazi symbol and there was like something else that she wore.
Oh, I don't know about the other thing. I only know about that one, but yeah. And I think I could be wrong, but I think another reason why the apology was so swift, I think it's because of how many Western publications were reporting on it. Mm. They probably feel, oh, we better say something quick. Because if it was just the, you know, the regular, you know, people on Twitter saying stuff, or, you know, your Sumpies or, excuse me, or your Koreaboos or K-Pops or whatever, I don't know if it would have happened as quickly, but that's just mm-hmm. my opinion. I don't know. I could be projecting, but that's my take. But anyway, moving on. GOT7's Jin-Young revealed that the group is working on a release. He says it's the first time it's been revealed GOT7 is preparing a release together. We're sending songs to each other. For mine, one of the members has already recorded, even though I haven't finished it yet. Everyone is very busy, so no one knows when we'll be done, but we do plan on releasing.
Ooh.
So keep your eye out for a GOT7 project. Don't know when that will be, because isn't, I don't know, people saying that JB's already enlisted. Or about to enlist. or he's gone secretly. So I don't know. We'll see. We'll see. And last but not least, I've announced plans for an American debut through Kakao Entertainment America. So this follows the news of Kakao Entertainment announcing a new partnership with Columbia Records under Sony Music. I don't know how I feel about this because I don't know how, I don't know if they're going to like just rejig their whole image or if they're going to create new songs or just create English versions of songs. But I don't know. Like, again, they could prove me wrong and I could be like really wrong. But I don't know if they would actually take off in America. Like, I don't see what the big urge is to try and debut them in America.
I feel like their impact has sort of grown very organically as is. I'm just trying to picture what that will look like. Have they never, I unfortunately don't follow IVE that closely. Have they never like toured or gone anywhere? Have they been to America before?
I don't know. Let's Google. Yeah. I don't think they have. They've been to like Paris and Germany
or something.
Yeah, I don't think they have. But like, it seems like the tours and stuff that they've been on is, it's not like a solo thing. It's like those tours that have a variety of acts, if that makes sense.
Mm.
Yeah, I don't know. I just feel like this is a weird move, personally. I could be wrong. Maybe there's something, but I'm not seeing it. Because the thing is, as well, again, I know they're very different. I don't want to compare like IVE to like a BTS or IVE to a Twice or a Blackpink even. But the reason why those certain groups cross over is because within their own fandom outside of like the Western world or whatever. Well, not outside of Western world. I mean, within their fandom internationally, they were making noise. They already make noise. And I guess like if we go with Blackpink or BTS, again, you can agree to disagree, but their sound crosses over a bit more. I don't know. I don't know if that's fair to say. Not that IVE's music is like hard to grasp, but I don't think that's the case. But yeah, I don't know. I just feel like this doesn't make any sense to me.
Hmm.
Like, I don't know if they're going to be able to put it off.
It might be one of those things we just have to sort of wait and see, to be honest, because I would understand if it was maybe like an American television debut where they go on like one of the talk shows and perform there, but I don't know.
Because that's the thing. I don't think, and again, I could be wrong. I don't remember ever seeing IVE going to perform for like a Jimmy Fallon or the Kelly Clarkson show or one of those, you know what I mean? Like, I've never seen that. Like, I don't know if this was like, oh, Stray Kids were going to make their American debut. Okay, that makes a bit more sense to me. And again, I feel like every time a group intentionally tries to make an American debut, I feel like it never goes to how the company has envisioned in their mind. Because BTS only started, everyone has conflicting opinions on like their English releases, but that wasn't necessarily, not all of those releases were intentional. Like, some were, but at that time they already had the popularity, but it wasn't like this is our American debut. They were already kind of solidified, if that makes sense. I feel like their English stuff, whether you liked it or not, was, yeah, yes, was to try to appeal to more people, but it wasn't like, okay, this is our American debut. That makes sense.
Yeah, I can't put my finger on it. I think it'll be something we have to just wait out and see.
Yeah.
And obviously wish them the best, but yeah.
So yeah, that is Hot Topics, Hot Topics. If there's any stories you want us to comment on, or if you want to comment on a story, make sure you hit us up on socials at Hallyu Atchu. Okay, moving on to our next segment called Say What. You send your unpopular opinions, dilemmas, hot tea. You can send that all to howyoutea@gmail.com. That's howyoutea@gmail.com. or you can submit a form at kpopbox.co.uk/howyouatyou. So Shay, take it away.
Okay, so our very first unpopular opinion for today is, I feel like in K-pop there is a bigger focus on being a good dancer, model and TV personality than being a good singer.
I agree. I don't know if that's the case via training, but it seems like I only could talk for certain groups or whatever, but half of them cannot seem to sing their songs live at least once and it's sounding okay. And when I say that, I don't mean like the whole song doesn't need to be perfect, but or they don't even give them that chance to. It's like it's lip synced and it's kind of, I know we've had this conversation before where I'm like, I kind of like when you hear like the imperfections or the song doesn't always sound the same every time that group or whoever performs the song. But we never get those chances because I think maybe companies or whatever are so scared about backlash or whatever that they're just, it's the safer option to lip sync. But then at the same time, I don't know, I just don't feel like there's much emphasis on vocals. It's different, you know, people saying, oh, they don't want idols to stress out their voice or to use their voice too much because obviously that's the instrument and you don't want to like tire that out. But there isn't even like a mixture of some live, some backing track. Do you know what I mean? It's just all lip sync. And then I think another thing that kind of brought that to light for me was I came across this post. I think she's a 12-year-old girl. She's like a trot singer, I think. She did a cover to Ive's song, actually, that Like After Like song. And, okay, yes, she wasn't dancing, but she sang everyone's parts. She did the whole song and she sounded good. And again, I could be wrong, so correct me, that's fine. But I don't think I've ever really seen them sing that song live. Bear in mind, that's a song that's split between how many people in that group.
Yeah, well, once again, at least on the topic of Ive, I don't follow them that closely. So like you said, this could exist. But I definitely see what this person means. There's definitely like this heavy emphasis on being an all-rounder is a good thing, but
yes,
a performance and a show, which is amazing, and that's what draws a lot of people to K-pop, feeling like you're experiencing the entire package.
Mm-hmm.
But like you said, being able to witness some of those imperfections or different renditions of a song and slight differences in each performance, I think that's what makes the music feel alive.
Yeah.
Yes, like there is a heavy focus on like good choreographies and we see a lot of idols and stuff transition into modeling and being a TV personality. So I don't know. Yes, there are amazing singers out there like that. Their mics are usually on and you do get to hear them. But I think for the most part, it would be nice to experience that a bit more, for there to be a bit more of a focus on singing ability. And we're not asking that everyone sounds like Mariah Carey, but whatever you can do, if we can just hear and see that live a little bit more, I think that would be nice.
I feel like with the modeling and the brand partnerships and the TV personality things, I feel like that should come after. Like your main thing is to be a singer. So can we sing, please? And then, you know, later down the line or whatever, you know, you have your variety shows and, oh, this member's pretty funny and they, you know, become a TV personality or they're an MC for this or, you know, this person is known for their stunning look so they become a model. But I don't think it should happen straight away because sometimes I feel like with certain groups, they may debut or whatever and then within like a couple months or like a year, it's like, this person's an ambassador for this. And it's like, yeah, that's cool, but can you sing? Like that's why you're here. Like if you
like fully experience each stage.
Like embrace a stage at a time. I'm not saying you can't do both things at once, but then sometimes I just feel like in terms of the music side, I don't think it's given what it could give, but you have time for Calvin Klein. Doesn't make sense to me. Like I'm just saying. I just feel like maybe I'm getting old, but I feel like with past generations or even like earlier groups from this generation, we have to prove ourselves that, you know, we can make songs and we can dance. And then it was later, then they, you know, have these campaigns. But yeah, go
ahead. Exactly. Sorry, no, what you just made me remember, I was at my friend's house the other day and we were just like doing like almost like a trip down memory lane of K-pop and watching some of these old music videos and some of these performances. We were like, these guys were singing so they could put food on the table, like they were performing because their life was on the line. And not saying that people don't do that nowadays, but there's like a very different feel nowadays. Yeah, it sort of feels like people, yeah.
Like jumping off what you said, I feel like, and again, this could be just us being old, but I don't know, it felt back then like rent needs to be paid, that we need to keep the lights on. Like you could feel that there was a hunger. Like I always used to say, even not just in K-pop, but in general, when, I don't know, I don't know if it's just me didn't get like the concept of a song or grasp a song or whatever. And I was looking much younger. You know, usually at the end of a song, that's when all like the ad-libs will come out and like the runs and and it's like, I always used to view that as the singers really want you to understand like the point of the song, like my heart's breaking or I love you or whatever the case may be. But also, I also took that as they're trying to show you as much as they can before that song ends.
Exactly.
that's how I took it. Like their life depended on it. Like I need you to remember that I can sing. Like, do you know what I mean? Like exactly. We're gonna do the high notes.
And there's so much going on. And once again, I don't know, maybe I'm just a bit out of touch. Like I don't watch as many music videos as I used to, but even the storylines and the performance within the music video, you would feel like you were watching a movie or like something crazy was going on, not just because of production value, but because of the emotions that were coming across and like the rawness within like the way that they were singing and what they were trying to convey. So I don't know, I guess we're in a different time. I think one other, I don't know if it'd be a pet peeve, but one other thing that I'm not really big on is just, okay, because we have X amount of followers or we're at this level with this popular, that you should just do something for the sake of it. Like, I don't think that everyone needs to be an ambassador for a fashion house.
Yes.
Especially if that person has no connection or has shown no interest in fashion as a whole.
Mm.
That doesn't make sense to me. Like, I don't know, someone that maybe our quote-unquote generation of K-pop would understand, like GD, for example, everyone's always known that he's like very creative, so it makes sense him being involved in fashion.
Yes.
But if this other person is just like, yeah, they might be a great visual or they're styled well, but that does not mean that they should be involved in the fashion space or be an ambassador for that space.
Yeah, it doesn't make sense to me at all. Again, I'm not blaming members themselves or groups themselves. I just feel like, you know, it's just companies trying to make sure that their eggs are not all in one basket, I guess. And, you know, they can recuperate money from different, you know, different bags, I guess. But then at the same time, I don't know, I'm personally not feeling it. Like, it doesn't make sense. Like, why is so-and-so the face of this couture fashion line when they don't even know what couture is? Like, it doesn't make sense. If so-and-so is a very, that outside of being an idol or didn't know that we're snapped in athleisure stuff, why don't they have a sponsorship with Adidas or Nike or whatever? That would make more sense. Do you know what I mean? But you want to sign them with Gucci and it's just like, not that they don't look good. Of course they look good, but it's like, this doesn't make sense to the brand. So, but then again, as I said, it's not that they can't do these things. I just think that the company or whatever's trying to focus on too many things and then they forget that the whole reason why they've debuted in the first place is to sing. So can you sing, please?
Please. So I guess we both agree with this. It's nice for everyone to be able to dabble in what they want to, but if the focus and the purpose is for you to be a singer,
then can you sing? Please. I think that's going to be the name of this episode. Can you sing?
Please. Honestly, and like just like one extra bit. Like I feel as though, yes, a lot of our faves from back in the days were able to have access to some amazing deals and collaborations, but we're only just maybe in the last past 5 or so years seeing them becoming like ambassador for fashion houses or things that are relevant to them. So they were able to have that full evolution of being singers, then transitioning into maybe being on more like variety shows, then maybe transitioning into more so acting back in the day.
Yeah.
And then doing all the other stuff and being an ambassador. Because I think when you're an ambassador for something, one, it isn't just, oh, I'm famous, it's going to bring extra attention to the brand. You're an ambassador because you also promote or give off the same messaging or ideals or whatever that brand is trying to promote. So mm-hmm. if you're just pretty, that's not bad. But if there's nothing else that we really get from you, but this like fashion brand or whatever this company is, like they represent this and we don't see that reflected in you, I don't think that makes much sense.
Yeah, because if I'm looking at you and I don't see Gucci, like I don't understand why you're invested off of Gucci. Now don't get me wrong, like I've seen idols or whatever and they get their Calvin Kleins or whatever and it makes sense because I'm like, it's about time. They took their time. Do you know what I mean?
Yeah.
But yeah. Just can you sing, please? Thanks.
Okay, and on to our next unpopular opinion. This person said, I feel like SM's music has been declining recently. Take Rover, for example. It's literally just a copy of another song by another artist. Yes, I get that she sold SM the rights to the song, but I still feel like that's lazy.
I disagree. I think people are just noticing now because of the internet. But SM has been doing this for time. Mm. SM has always done this. This is like an SM thing. Let's go back. You had Aespa Next Level. That was a song before. You had basically Shinee's Juliet was basically a Corbin Blue song. Even when I go, Hot Topics, Hot Topics. That melody is from FX Hot Summer, which again was another song and they sold their rights to SM. Even the most popular song, Barotic, that was a song before and the rights got sold. SM's been doing this and they do it well. I'm sorry.
But I also don't think it's just an SM thing. I think it's a music industry thing because you might not be aware of it. Mm-hmm. A lot of artists, they haven't like written these songs. It might have been adapted, which we also see with like what SM does. But a lot of your favorite songs are by other artists and they sold the rights. And that's what a lot of people that work in like the songwriting space do. It might be a song that they've actually published and written and composed and whatever, and they sell on the rights to a bigger company or whatnot. So I don't think it's lazy or bad because it tends to still be a very collaborative process.
Exactly.
And two, it provides work and opportunity for lesser known artists and songwriters and people that want to do that.
Mm-hmm. I agree. And plus, it's not like, for example, if every song, if every SM song was like this, then okay, I can kind of see your point. But at the same time, it's not like, I feel like it's different if SM went out of the way to steal it. Artist finds out, they come to an agreement, then it's fine. Then it's like, okay, that's, first of all, that's just lazy. Like, do you know what I mean? Like, why you do that? But again, as you said, it's very collaborative. Both parties are happy with it. It's not a new thing. I just think that the mystique to certain musical practices now are gone because, like, you know, you can find out on TikTok how this song came about, or you can even find out, oh, actually, this was the original demo and actually the song was meant to be for this artist, but they passed it by. So, and it may still have their vocals on it, but now this person sing it. So, like, we're seeing things that realistically we're not meant to see. So it kind of it's like, you know, it for some people it can spoil the magic of it, if you get what I mean, because like we're seeing all the moving parts, and sometimes, you know, usually those things may come out years later and it's like, oh, that's a cool fact to know, and it's like years later, but now you can literally find out as soon as that song's released. Like, do you know what I mean? Like, for example, Kai's song right now. Like, as soon as it was released, people were like, oh, this was so-and-so's song before, whatever. So, you know, it could be like, oh, it's kind of hard for you to enjoy the experience because it's like knowing the secret to a magic trick. Do you know what I mean?
Yeah.
But it doesn't make the magic trick less impressive. It's just, you know, how it works.
Well, if this was upsetting for you, I highly do not recommend doing research into any of your favorite songs because... The artist probably did not write it. They probably had very little to do with it, so.
Or like you see a song or you see an artist and they're like, yeah, you know, I was in the studio and I wrote this song. And then you go and look and there's like 23 writers. You're like, so, and then.
What part did you write?
And the thing is, it's not even like don't get me wrong, there can be there can be people that actually sat in the studio and they actually wrote a lot of it, and there's still 23 writers. But usually how it's listed, it's the person that wrote the most near the top, and then the person that, you know, it filters down in it. But you can't be like having this, listen to your favorite artist have a sob story like, yeah, I was in the studio for like 2 days. All I drank was water and I ate bread. And, you know, it was very, you know, humbling experience for me. And then they had like 46 writers and then they're at the bottom. So it's like, so what did you write? The ands, the thes, the ah. Because the thing is, I don't know if, probably most people know this now. It's not common knowledge, but I could be a songwriter if I'm like, Shay could be writing a song and I'd be like, Shay, I think you should take out the hair. I've helped written that song. And that's all, that could be my whole contribution.
That's the credit.
Another contribution could be, I changed the melody a bit. I could have not written one word, but because I'm like, instead of going, oh, go, oh, so I've written something, even though I haven't changed anything. So, yeah, if you don't want to go down that rabbit hole and you don't want to be upset, as Shay said, just cover your eyes and just listen to the song.
Yeah, I don't think, it, like we've already covered, to be honest, like I don't think it's a bad thing. At the end of the day, I think it's really nice because, like I already said, there might be some artists that wouldn't have been able to work on such a big project, not given the opportunity to maybe sell on one of their songs. I'm not specifically referring to Rover because I think the person who wrote it, she was like already quite known. Mm. But in other scenarios, sometimes it's someone that's always dreamed of being able to write or work in this space and they haven't had the opportunity to do so through their own music. So by writing or selling on a song of theirs, it also allows people to go and learn about them. So I think it's actually a really nice thing. I've seen some really nice story times and stuff on TikTok of different artists that had been wanting to work for a while and then they were able to participate in songwriting in K-pop and it really changed their life. So I think it's nice. Okay, and now moving on to our last unpopular opinion for today. This person said, I find the Korean entertainment world so interesting in that you can literally take a world-class artist or actor and put them on a variety show where they will have to work in a restaurant and serve regular people. Like, yes, there are reality shows in the West, but I can't picture being able to get an artist like Drake to do the same outside of a skit scenario.
I think you can, but it won't be a Drake, because I think people are forgetting who we think are popular may not be that popular in Korea, if that makes sense. So we could have a show like with similar scenario, but they may not be that popular in the UK, if that makes sense. But like, they have a nice fan base, but unless you know of that music, you won't know, if that makes sense. So I feel like you still can, but it just won't be like a Drake. Like they won't, for example, like in Korea, they won't do a show like now. Right now. They won't do a show with, say, like a Blackpink member or BTS member working in a restaurant.
I think that might actually be what this person's referring to. So there was a recent show, I think it's called Junie's Kitchen or Junie's Kitchen. And it's like, V is on the cast, Park Sejun, oh, what's his name? I can't remember his name. One of the other guys from the Wooga group, he was in Parasite. So those are like top acts domestically and internationally. So I guess at least V could be quite comparable to Drake. And like V was basically a busboy. They were making him like wash dishes and take orders and things like that. So that might be what this person is referring to. Okay, fair enough. Yeah.
Yeah, I can't see someone. Not because it can't be done, because I feel like it still could be done. But I don't know, I think like people, some Western artists, their ego's too big. I can't imagine, I don't know Drake and I could be wrong, but I just can't imagine him washing dishes just for a show. Or I can't imagine him going around to collect plates. Unless it's like
outside of a skit scenario.
Yeah, like a skit or a prank or something where, you know, stuff just goes wrong or, you know, you put in pranks or whatever. But like just, you know, a day in a life in a restaurant or whatever.
Yeah. So
yeah, I don't see it.
at least with the show that I think this person might be talking about, I think maybe because we're quite used to it in the Hallyu space, because there's been like other renditions of artists and idols doing similar things. But I think it works. I don't know if it'd work in the Western space, but it works because it helps to make these people feel more human and regular. Like they're not like, oh, we don't know what happens behind the scenes, but they're not like, I can't do this, it's beneath me sort of thing. It's like, oh, it's funny. And you see them interact and it helps to humanize them. Whereas in the West, I think there's more of an emphasis of putting people on like this pedestal. And not saying that doesn't happen in Hallyu and K-pop, but there's always been a huge focus, like through variety shows. And what's that show where there'll be like an artist and you have to go and like try and knock someone's door and see if they'll invite you in for dinner?
Oh, I've never seen that.
You haven't?
No.
It's been on for like years. So there'll be like the host of the show, and I think Jin from BTS was on it like a few years back. And you go around to people's houses, and like the aim is hopefully someone will invite you in for a meal. So they might be out for hours walking in the street, like trying to see if someone's home and can let them in. But it's funny and it's somewhat relatable and it makes them feel human, which I think has what it is one of the elements that have made Hallyu as a whole feel really approachable to a lot of people. But yeah, I couldn't picture Drake doing that. No. But those are all of our unpopular opinions for today. And we actually have a dilemma. So, Shanice, if you'd like to read it for us.
Oh, okay. Hi, ladies. I absolutely love your podcast and always listen to it on the way to work. So, I currently have a bit of a dilemma. The majority of my friends that I currently have, I made through K-pop. But I now feel like I'm at the stage in my life where I don't really enjoy K-pop as much as I used to. My friends keep inviting me out to concerts and K-pop related events and I keep turning them down. I'm worried that if I tell them I don't like K-pop anymore, our relationship might break down. Should I tell them or shall I just keep quiet? Thank you for listening, first of all. I think the question that I have is, do you do anything that's not K-pop related with these people? Or is it just K-pop related things that you do? Because if it's just K-pop related and you're not into K-pop anymore, then not intentionally, but that those relationships may just fizzle out because there isn't anything that you have in common with these people anymore. Like, not that they're not good people or anything, but you just don't have anything in common with these people anymore. And that's fine, but you can't go around pretending just for the sake of having friends. So if you haven't done anything that's not K-pop related, why don't you, on the other side, say, oh, I don't want to go to this, but, you know, if you're free X day, let's all go out to eat, or let's do this, or let's do that. That's not K-pop related. That doesn't mean when you're together, K-pop things may still come up, especially if they're still like heavily involved or whatever. But then, yeah, that's the only thing that I can think of.
I think I can understand if like your relationship is heavily based on a mutual interest in something, but then dare I call that more like having acquaintances? Because your friends, like Shanice might like something that I have no interest in, and I might just be very open with her about that. So it doesn't turn in, I don't know, say she's into rock and she keeps inviting me out to rock concerts and I keep turning her down. That would probably cause more harm to our relationship because she might just think, oh, like Shay doesn't want to hang out with me and she isn't like giving much of a explanation. Whereas if I'm like, oh, I'm not that into rock, but we have other things that our friendship's based off of. Because I think more acquaintances, like you might have just like your K-pop mutuals group and you guys go concerts together. But if you're friends, even if you don't like this one element, yes, you might be left out of some social events, but you guys will find other ways to interact and hang out, whether that's like through food or another interest or just general catch-ups. I feel like a friendship would be able to survive that.
Yeah, because for me personally, I have quite a few close friends, and most of those friends I did meet either at concerts or like through K-pop or whatever. Girl, I'm the only one that's still in this. Everyone else is like, yeah, I don't really care about that anymore. Like, they may listen to the other thing that they used to listen to back in the day, but other than that, they don't know who this group or that person is, and they don't want to talk about it. They don't want to go. So, but because we're actually friends, and as Shay was saying, we have other interests, and we did have other interests, you know, when we all did like nearly all the same thing. So we had other interests outside of that. When, you know, they were like, yeah, Shanice, I don't want to talk about this, or Shanice, I don't want to go to this thing. It didn't really change anything. It was just like, okay, I just go and do this with these people, or I'll do this by myself, or whatever the case may be. So that's why I asked the question, you know, do you guys hang out outside of K-pop related things? Do you guys talk about things outside of K-pop related things? Because if you don't, then yeah, as Shay said, they're just your K-pop friends. And if you're not in K-pop anymore, then they're not, or not that interested, and that's fine. Then, you know, you may not see them as much.
Exactly. And I think it's just being open and honest, and like, yes, is there a real understandable fear here? Of course, if mm-hmm. these are people that you've maybe known for a while, or you don't have many friends outside of this group, I understand that can be scary. But like I said already, it would probably cause more harm to just try and keep quiet and keep turning them down mm-hmm. than just being honest and just saying, okay, like, I don't hate K-pop, but your opinion's your opinion. But I'm just giving an example. Like, I don't hate K-pop. I'm just not into it as much anymore. If we can just hang out or explore this thing, or I found out about this new thing, if you guys would be interested, you can try and do that, like Shanice already said. But I don't think keeping quiet about it will help anyone.
Yeah.
Great. Good Thank luck. You very much. Yes. Good luck. Let us know how you get on. And then we also have a question for today. So
it's really popping off
it's
today.
It's a packed episode. This person said, if you were an artist or idol, what reality or variety show would you want to go on? For me, the show, I'm pretty sure it's not on anymore, but do you remember that old... It's not that old, but that K-pop show, I think it was called like Roommate. It's like a bunch of idols and artists who'd live in a house together. And it was
my
hilarious.
Worst nightmare. I would never do that. I hate people.
I feel like it'd be so funny.
I don't want people watching me wake up and no. Absolutely not.
Yeah, I think I forgot about the filming part, but I just...
You forgot about the roommate part.
You know what? I might have to pick something else, but...
You forgot the whole thing's called Roommate. And you forgot about my roommate part.
I might pull my like superstar card of like, I can't share. I need my own room. Can you imagine that show in this economy?
Absolutely not. I don't know. I'm trying to think of shows. I can't even think of shows.
There's like Running Man, I guess. Is Weekly Idol still a thing? We Got Married. I don't think that's still a thing.
Yeah, it's not a thing. Can you imagine if that was still a thing? The breakdowns.
I will personally fund it to come back. That would be... The world would spin the other way.
I don't know.
There's that other one where they like have to go to a jungle and like try and survive.
Absolutely not. That is not a bit of me. why can't I think of it? A show.
You can go and show me the money.
Ciao. Absolutely not. I think I'll go on like those produce... 99 produce 48 shows, but I'll be a judge.
Oh, man. Okay.
A mentor.
What kind? Like vocal mentor, rap mentor?
All of them. I'll do all of them. Think I would be either vocal or rap. One of those two. What about you? Are you sticking with roommate?
I don't know.
Or I would go on if they brought back the Hello Counselor thing, because that's kind of what we do.
Hello Counselor was so messy when you watch it back.
It was so messy. I think I'll do that, yeah.
Okay. Yeah, I think Hello Counselor is a good option. Yeah. I think it depends on where you are in your career. If you're like a failing idol that just needs some screen time.
A failing idol, child.
Something controversial, like We Got Married or... the other one that I mentioned, like Roommate or something, because you just got to try everything. I feel like I probably could do We Got Married as long as they didn't pair me up with like someone really annoying.
They will do that on purpose just so it's a good show.
Yeah.
Come on, you got to think of like a producer.
No, I might leave. midway. I'll just run away at the altar.
Oh my gosh.
But yeah, those were those. Thank you for your unpopular opinions, your dilemma, and your questions for today. And now, as we come towards the end of the episode, it's now time for On the Radar, where me and Shanice let you know what's on our radars, if there's anything that we're listening to, watching, or anything we want to put you guys onto. So Shanice, what's on your radar?
I got a few things on my radar, and this episode's already long, so I apologize. Starting off with our favorite baby cousin is dating. Have you heard this, Shay? That our cousin's dating.
Hyunmin.
Yes, Hyunmin. Our baby. He's dating Davida. They look cute. I think someone tried to come for him or something. I can't remember what they said because they deleted the tweet. The tweet is something.
He put cap, wasn't it?
Yeah. I think they tried to call him a coon or something. Or, you know, they came off the... I'm like, what are you talking about? He's Korean and he's dating a Korean. Anyway, they said, I don't know if it was a she or he or whatever, but they said something like, oh, they look better than them or whatever, better than Davida. And I think that's where the cap comment. It's like cap.
That was the best way to
best way to reply. We stand with you. Just leave them alone. Like, they look cute, they look happy, it's fine. Another thing, I want you to shout out my baby, my husband Kai, and his Rover promotions. I think he's one of the people or only person I feel like that have done promotions really well, in a sense of the collabs, like all the TikTok collabs didn't seem forced, it didn't seem fake. He came on and he was like, if you guys wanna, you know, collab with me, just let me know, I'll come and do it. And he went to go do it. So there was a lot of collabs from, like, you know, from newer idols to idols that you're more familiar with. And I think that was great. And when he did have his win, congratulations, he did shout out, you know, fandoms from other groups as well as his own fans. So I felt like everyone felt included, and I thought, you know, that was really nice, and, you know, he was praised for that. But my favourite video was when Kai and AT San and Songhua, they did the river dance, and that was perfection. Chef's kiss. We love it out here. Additionally, Red Velvet is coming to London. I can't believe it.
Yes.
Can't believe it. But I have a rant, okay? So they're coming in June. Baby, it's nearly, what, April, yeah? Why do K-pop artists do this?
Like, I'm coming tomorrow.
Like, what? Oh, yeah, here's the date. Tickets are coming out on Friday, but we're coming on Monday. Like, no, let's stop normalizing this. Let's give people time to save. Let's give people time to actually buy tickets, because it's a bit ridiculous. And then last but not least, is I found out this week, did you know that the origin story of Dispatch, the media company?
Like how they came to be?
Yes.
No.
So the guy, I can't remember what his name is, the guy that just like founded it, he was inspired by TMZ and he saw what they were doing. And he's like, I think he was a private detective or something before, or some sort of inspector, I can't remember. And he basically, who did he? He used someone as a test. It's actually quite twisted, actually. So he's like, he's going to see if he follows a certain idol for a while, take some pictures. I think it was Jonghyun, you know, like SHINee's Jonghyun. And then I think he found out he was dating someone. Then they broke it off because obviously they got hate. Then ever since, Jonghyun just never dated ever again. So I'm just like, that's very sick and twisted. But I found that out this week. So yeah, that's
something.
Yeah. So again, I don't know how true that is, because I think I just read it in a thread, you know, so the sources, trust me, bro. But I wouldn't be surprised. But yeah, that's what's on my radar.
On my radar? What is on my radar? Kai and Rover as well. I think my favorite moment that's happened through this whole promotion promotional period was when he got his first win as a soloist.
Mm.
And like he was literally crying and then the music started. Like he was not crying anymore. So that was funny. I finished Mr. Queen and it was hilarious. It was really good. It was confusing, but quite funny. Jimin's promotions for his solo debut have been great. Like he's mm-hmm. everywhere and it's hilarious. I actually kind of changed my mind for what I said earlier for if we had to go on like a variety show or a reality show. Mm-hmm. I don't know if it counts and falls into this category, but I think, was it, where did it used to happen? I don't know what channel, I don't know if it was Dingo or something, but you know where as an artist you get to go like surprise a fan and like pick them up from work and spend the day with them.
Mm.
I always found those really sweet, so I'd probably do that.
Oh, yeah, that's nice. Did you see that video of Kai? He went to surprise a fan. I don't know, I think it was like in a clothing store.
Yeah.
And then she comes out the changing room and he's like, hi, beautiful. And she closes, like, you look beautiful or something. And then she's like, ah, she closes the curtain.
I would close it too. Like, that's, I can't even like fathom that happening. That would be... I think it was
Sherry that tweeted. Sherry said, oh, I would freeze or something like that. And I also said, my response would be like, thank you, baby. Period.
And you'll match the energy a bit too well.
Yeah, I'm like, I will scare him. He will go, ah, and he will close the camera. Thank you, baby. Well, yes. Thank you so much for listening to How You At You.
Yes, and remember that you can send us any of your unpopular opinions, dilemmas, or requests to howyoutea@gmail.com, or you can submit them anonymously at kpopbox.co.uk/howyouatyou. And remember to leave us a review and rate us on whatever podcasting platform you're listening to us on.
Mm-hmm. I've been Shanice from K-pop Box. You can follow me at kpopbox_.
And I've been Shay from the K-Way, and you can follow me at the K-Way on most platforms.
Yes. And until next time, we will
holla at you.
Bye.